Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
Hi, I'm Elise Tran, and welcome to Dinner for Two, presented by Pop Sugar Australia.
I've always thought that aligning a brand with a celebrity helps position a brand and a product. During my time at TDE, we worked with a range of celebrities from Lara Worthington, Hailey Bieber, and my final celebrity campaign for TDE that I conceptualized was with Molly Menard. I loved Molly's character in the TV series Younger and thought she would be an amazing ambassador for the brand. And lo and behold, she reached out to me on Instagram. When you are growing a brand and you aren't the face of it, I think it's always great to be able to position the brand with someone who embodies what you are trying to communicate. And I think the best thing is you can always change it up with a celeb. I'm excited today to speak to Molly Menard about how she feels about fronting other brands, products and causes, and to my friend Michael Lasordo, one of Australia's preeminent fashion designers, about the impact of working with recognisable faces. Thank you so much for coming on for Dinner for Two, Molly, all the way from New York.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. Yes.
4 p.m. your time, first thing in the morning my time. So it's like a dinner breakfast situation. For those of you know listening who don't know, I fell in love with your character when you played Lauren Heller in Younger. I am a huge Hillary fan, which probably is, to be honest, what drew me to that show. But then what kept me on that show was Lauren. But who is the real Lauren, or Molly, if you will?
I love that. I feel like I know a lot about you because Lauren is your favorite character. She's a wild woman. And, you know, it was like one of the greatest gifts of my life getting to play her for 7 years. But I really, in some ways, I'm similar, I guess. I'm you know, unfiltered and quirky and kind of weird. But I'm also like, she's not shy. She's not self-conscious. I'm extremely shy and extremely self-conscious.
What do you mean by you're weird though? You're not like, how do you characterize that?
I have like a jar of my teeth, my dog's teeth, and like my best friend recently got a root canal. So I have her little filling in my jar of teeth. Like it's.
Yeah.
It's weird. Objectively,
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. And what's the rationale behind the teeth?
There's something about these things are bones in my body and the people that I love in their bodies, and I get to keep them in a tiny little jar. Like, it's bizarre, but I'm obsessed. Mm. It's also witchy. It's in like a little mini cauldron. The jar is a cauldron shape, and I feel like I could cast spells, you know?
Yes.
I should be casting spells.
Do you feel like you helped the writers develop that character and then if your personality's fused with?
Totally. And I think we were blessed with exquisite writers. Alison Brown and Grant Sloss are like really the two who kind of helmed, and Ashley Skidmore, the like real raunchy personality of Lauren. When I was falling in love with Hannah, my now wife, I chased Hannah out to Dinah Shore, which is like a lesbian festival in Palm Springs, California. And they, I don't know if it was to troll me or to support me, but Grant and Allison wrote Lauren suggesting that her and Maggie go to Dinah Shore.
Right.
Into the show.
Yeah.
Which is like, there's just these little, like, you know, nuggets of truth in there.
Would say then by like season three that Lauren and Molly were one.
Yes, there was a symbiosis there. Mm. Totally.
That's amazing, right? That doesn't happen to other, I don't know, does that happen to other actors?
No, it was the greatest compliment. And also they started writing in my cadence. Like somehow I discovered that Lauren was someone who, when she said yes, she goes, yeah, no, 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 yeah, yeah, yes, yes. No, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Like she's one of those. And they started to write that in. Like I would ad lib that on set and then suddenly it was in the script. And I was like, oh, this is the nicest thing that's ever happened to me. They're like writing for my weird, quirky, bizarre speech pattern.
I loved shooting you for TDE. And generally with all celebrity campaigns and things, I always traveled to, you know, put it together and creatively direct on set. But with COVID over the last 2 years, like I've spoken to you and emailed you a lot, but I've not met you, which is so sad because I was like, oh, I just want to fly her out. But, you know,
no, I want that too.
Yeah, getting into Australia up until now has been like a full nightmare.
The thing is, Elise, you are like very singular. And even though we've never met, I feel like very close to you, which is so weird, right? But we met because I admired your company, right? And I like reached out. I was like, you make amazing things.
No, it was really, you reached out via DM. You're right with your Instagram. Obviously, I follow you very closely like a stalker, you know, just casual. And, you know, you're always putting up, it's actually a great guide to New York and a cool side of New York that is not super mainstream.
To be very honest with you, every other day, I'm like, I should just delete my Instagram. And then I think, I know that I'm able to reach people in a very personal way that I would not be able to otherwise. But I have to keep, you know, you as an actress, I have to remind myself that my job is not Instagram. My job is like building characters and being true to that. But
totally,
it is painful. Occasionally, I have to get off sometimes because people will roll right into those DMs and be like, stay in your lane. You're an actress. You're not, how dare you have these opinions about whatever, anything. I mean, I could literally post a picture of a brush and be like, brushing is good. Brushing your hair is good for your health. And someone would, I know someone would slip in there and be like, your brush is disgusting. And I can't believe you brush your hair. Don't you know it's bad for your brain?
I think this is very comforting because I think anyone with a public profile gets feedback. And I think you just have to take that because it's sort of like this tiny percentage of, you know, quite a large fan base, but I know what you mean, even from like a brand and product perspective, you know, we'll often create products and then put them onto Instagram to sort of see what people, how people react. You know, do you like this? Yes or no? And then when people are like, no, and there's like 2%, I'm like, who are these people?
I know. They're probably the people who don't like dogs. And maybe also they're the same people who argue that like, the Beatles suck.
Yeah, yes. They just like clicking no.
They're contrarians.
To go against the grain.
Contrarians, or they accidentally press no. I've done that. I've done that on a friend's poll and I was like, ooh, that's not going to play out well for me.
Do you think of yourself as famous? Given that people would care about whether you brush your hair or not?
Honestly, no. I'm aware that I have a platform, but sometimes... Mm. Some of my friends will use like the F word and I'm like, girl, I am not famous. Partially it's because I don't know. I don't know what famous means. I guess I'm an actress on TV.
So your friends think you're famous. So that's a step. So then there's, does your mom think you're famous?
No, probably because I tell her not to. So I'm like, don't say that. No. And I'm, you know, and now that I'm off Younger, I'm like on the job hunt again. And the life of an actor, no matter how much work you've had, how acclaimed you are, whatever, you still have to fight to get jobs. And so it's a very humbling job. It's a maddening job. But I think I wish I had a little more like white male confidence, which is maybe like BDE is maybe another way to say that. But if I had a little more confidence, I think I might be able to say to you, yeah, I'm kind of famous. But
you need, you need to Lauren Heller that because she would definitely think she was famous.
Lauren Heller is famous.
Yeah, she already was famous when she's a publicist, effectively.
She's the publicist, she's the hottest publicist around.
So that's you because we said that you fused with her. So therefore you're famous. Do you feel like now you're on a trajectory where things are easier or?
No, I actually think in a way, I mean, you're catching me in a very interesting moment. And because I'm a filterless gal, I'm like, well, always just be the most honest. So I had just graduated from the Yale School of Drama, which is an amazing drama school, in 2013. And then I booked Younger that following spring, February of 2014. So I had been out of school for like 5 minutes. I booked this job and it was just 6 lines in the pilot. It was a guest star. And then suddenly I was in every episode and then suddenly I was a series regular. So it happened in this miraculous way. And as much of a boon as that was, as that started my career, it's a gift. It's the best thing it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The only downside to that is now that I have the 7 years of this series behind, you know, under my belt and this body of work. I never had at the beginning of my career a bunch of rejection. right? And so now I'm learning what it is to hustle, to go, I mean, I'm auditioning so much and I'm getting so close to all of these projects.
Auditioning so much, like the regular Joe does not have a point of reference for that. So like, is there, are you out every day? Like,
yes, multiple times, like sometimes two auditions a day. It's, wow. It's constant and it's great fun. It's terrific fun. And it's fun because they're all very different than Lauren. And I get to play all these different parts of myself and explore. It's awesome. It's also challenging because it's finding the right next job is an art. And luckily I have like a team that's on that with me, but on that journey with me. But it's on the one hand, it's easier, right? Because I'm a known entity and I'm a reference point for some casting directors. And on the other, it's tricky because now I feel like I have pressure. I've put the pressure on myself that like, I want to break through to the next level. And what is that? And
what is the next level?
You know, I think I'd really like to do kind of like a spooky HBO series.
So I assume your agent, who I have dealt with before, gives you, does she sort of bring you these scripts and ops, or do you, you would have relationships now, people that have, you know, can introduce you to different producers and
It's mostly through her, but I love the, like, when people reach out to me, that's always a joy. Like, I just accepted this film that I'm extremely excited about. It's kind of like a Knives Out style genre. And I play like the lead detective who's nutty. She's like a mix of the, I think the character description is if David Bowie and a 1940s detective had a baby. So she's like,
okay, I'm just thinking that through. David Bowie.
It's a visual. Yeah, it's okay. A whole exercise. Yeah. It's an imaginative process. Mm. But I couldn't be more excited because it's so different than actually anything I've ever done. And I think the breakthrough element is like for a regular Joe, I want to do something that really challenges me, something that I haven't done yet. That's exciting. That kind of freaks me out. Like I love an impossible project. I like the things that are hard.
And are you able to do that all in New York, or are you sort of, again, an Australian's perception of the entertainment industry in America is that a lot of it's in LA and you're in New York and you've got your life in New York? Like how has that, does that play into your, how you build your career?
It does. It absolutely does. I mean, again, thank goodness for Younger. I was just so lucky that my life is in New York and Younger shot for almost a decade in New York. So we were very, very lucky. Like Hillary had to come and relocate every season. Mm-hmm. That was hard for her.
Yeah.
Not being home. And I've shot a couple of movies in New York. So I've been really, really lucky. But I really like going out of town for work. Like I loved traveling back and forth to Chicago when I was on Chicago Med. Transparent was in LA.
Yeah, so there's no kind of border requirement. It's just the preference.
No. But there is a few years ago, maybe a decade ago now. Gosh, I'm old. New York City and state did huge tax breaks for the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So filming here in New York is actually everywhere. It's common. And it's really great. It's like, New York is becoming a little more like London is, you know, where they do TV and theater in London.
Yes.
It's kind of becoming that.
If you weren't an actress and, you know, what's your backup career?
I think it's the love of my life, right? Like acting is, she's my main girl. I love her so much. Even with the trials and tribulations and the cost for the soul, it's heavy, you know, it's heavy because it's my personage ultimately. And so when I don't get a job, I'm like, oh, that means I suck as a person. And then it's just mental gymnastics to figure that out and be kind to yourself. But I love my job. But if I didn't do it, I always joke that like when I don't, you know, when I have a heartbreak, I say to Hannah, my wife, I go, I got to open a gluten-free bakery. And she says, no, honey, you're not good at baking. You can't do that. She goes, you can do the interiors for the gluten-free bakery, but you can't do any baking because you're going to gross people out.
Okay. So chef is not backup, but maybe interiors. So we're really excited to see this, the remodel behind
you. And obviously, you know, my pedagogy. That? Yeah. My pedagogy, you know, would be like, what's weird? You got teeth? Show them. Put them on your bookshelf.
Sure. Can't wait for the Archie Digest tour of this and then that specific moment being called out. But who is doing your remodel? Is that something that you're into renovations and interiors.
I love it. I really actually do love making a space my own. And I really like helping my friends do it, making it theirs too.
So mood boarding, sourcing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does Hannah do out of interest?
It's very hot what Hannah does. Hannah's a public defender. So she represents.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she represents clients in the Bronx, mostly accused of like petty crimes, but keeps them out of jail and fights. And if they are facing jail time, fights for like the lowest possible time.
I could imagine that you could be very good at that.
That's
as well.
I mean, my real answer is like I love interiors and it's fun, but I think I don't know that I could be a public defender. I've seen the toll that it takes on Hannah and her work friends. It's a really hard job. I think I would maybe get too involved and have a busted heart all the time.
You'd Hannah like has a personal relationship with your client.
Oh, I would break that. I would break that all. I would like, yeah, I would be a bad lawyer, but because I would get too personal. But I would actually love to be like a civil rights attorney. That I think I could argue like mean cases. Wouldn't it be fun to argue cases in front of the Supreme Court?
You sort of spoke about, you know, you're working with brands and using your platform for causes. Are there any causes or brands or products or verticals that you wish or would love to work with?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question.
Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
I think I really want to get more involved with HMI. HMI is a very like American thing. It's the Hetrick Martin Institute, and it's for LGBTQ youth.
Yes. And what is their sort of driver or their MO?
Their outreach is to like take care of young queer people provide housing and legal fees if they need and mental health.
Isn't that crazy that there needs to be an organization that's specific to that? Like there is an organization in Australia called Minus 18, which I think is just a multi-platform. You know, you are having issues, you go there. It's just so crazy that in this day and age, you know, we still need that segregated out in some way.
I didn't know that I'm glad that Australia has that. I think in my mind, I have you guys on a pedestal that you're a bit more socialist and you actually take care of the people who live there. Because here, you know, if Planned Parenthood didn't exist, abortion rights would be really compromised. They are more than they even already are, you know, like, and I feel like in America, these nonprofits exist to make up for the things that the government refuses to provide.
I think there are in any organization, in we could say government, there are always going to be, not always, unfortunately, there are areas that are not focused on as much as others. So, you know, it is difficult. But yeah, I think that you would be fantastic. I see you kind of leaning into that already. So I guess how do we help you do that more?
I mean, really what I need to do is just reach out and be like, hey, HMI, like,
HMI. Do cute merch and sell it and raise more funds for them and things like that, you know, use your platform. I can make you something.
As far as brands, you know, this is so dumb, but I have like, I'm highbrow, lowbrow, right? So like I'm all for causes and I want to be an anti-capitalist and I want to go, you know, march into the sunset and have everyone be free and happy. I also like want a Rabboa suitcase.
Oh yeah, same. I like the green.
Yes.
So Rabboa. Yeah. Okay.
Not
cool.
Not face, but like I'll be a partner.
A friend of. Any case, so Rabboa. Anything else? Because maybe this we put this out into the world as well.
So funny. I mean, obviously, design within reach.
Do you have something that planned that we might be seeing in the near future?
Yes, I'm in a movie. I don't know. This is the thing, Elise, it's weird being an actress. I don't know when this movie is coming out. It's called Lone Star Bull. And I'm really excited about it. It's a gay action film that I made with one of my favorite drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, Shangela. Wow. And did you see, I don't know if it was out in Australia, the Netflix movie that was out the gay one, Single All the Way? Was it, did it play in?
Yes.
So Luke McFarlane was in that, and he'll also be in this movie called Lone Star Bolt. That should be out sometime this year.
Yeah. Okay. So we're excited for that.
Yeah. No, I'm super pumped about that because that's a really fun genre. That's like not done enough. A gay action movie, a cowboy gay action movie.
It's specific, but I like it.
Very specific. Mm. It's funny. Now suddenly I'm feeling like, oh, maybe I was too honest with Elise. But like, I feel like something that's not talked about enough in this industry is I could see someone going to my Instagram page or even my IMDb or even just watching Younger and being like, oh, she's an actress. She's set for life, right? Mm. But it's the transition between jobs, great as they may be, is like, I was kind of excited for Younger to end. I was like, oh, great. I can't wait to see what's next. And then I got married, you know, we moved, my wife and I, like we went on a honeymoon. So I had big life events happen that kind of took me out of work for a bit, which you have to in this industry, take time off and be yourself. Like you have to live your own life or else you'll lose your mind. But, and I think that's probably true of any job. But taking that time off and to reflect really made me realize how lucky I was to have had Younger in the first place. It made me miss my castmates. And how fortunate I was to have a regular job as an actress for 7 years with the same colleagues, right? And that is actually very rare in our industry. Think of all the shows that just make it one season, two seasons.
Yes, there's not many shows that have gone beyond five seasons, let's call it. Yeah.
Right. And let's be real also, like most shows don't make it past a pilot. If they do, they don't make it past the first season. And so it's... I'm very moved by this phase of my career that I'm in, which is just wonderfully corresponding with my age. I'm getting a little older. I'm getting a little more humble. And it's like lovely that I wonder what's next. And it's kind of a sweet spot to be in because I get to be a part of that too. It's not like I audition and I'm like, you know, do I want it? Are they going to give me the job or not? Right. It's like, do I fit this? Do I want this? If this were to go for seven seasons, would this feel good? So now I'm just rambling, but the what's next of it all is like, I don't know. And it's the first time in my life that I'm kind of excited by that.
Yes, you're right. People look at other people thinking that they are very sure of themselves and know what their lives are going to be like and have a perception. But at the end of the day, anything can go wrong in anyone's career or go well or in business or in any way, shape or form. And I think it's just comforting to know that everyone's kind of going through the same thing. But I guess the body of work or, you know, experience that you have puts you in good stead to deal with whatever life's going to throw at you.
Yeah. And I also think it's, as an actor, you really do have to simultaneously have a really thick skin and just like tissue paper thin skin, because you need to have all of those emotions and all of the availability to yourself and to experience other people's emotional life. That has to be present too. And so there's just, it's a tall order, right? To accept rejection, to handle the highs and take in the highs when they're really good. And then also you have to then tell yourself when the lows hit, like, no, you can't. You can't go so low, right? Like you don't want to lose belief in yourself. I think maybe because I'm out of a particular rough patch that I was in where I was just feeling kind of bummed, that I have some nice insight on this now where I feel comfort and it's a learning curve. Like this is part of a few friends of mine, like Hillary and I were talking, like part of being an actor is how do you structure your time when you're not working? And what are the things that you do outside of being an actor that feel good, that are meaningful, that provide purpose? I think I was go, go, go for 7 years. And now having some breaks, I'm like, there's a whole world out there that I didn't even know. I just was moving too fast.
Well, we're very excited for you to absorb the world and take that all on and see your new movie and see your new apartment. So very excited. Thank you so much for coming on for dinner/breakfast for two.
Loved it.
Morning my time, dinner your time.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to Dinner for Two. So happy to have one of my good friends onto this podcast.
Hi, Elise. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Michael, I have had a great time working with influencers and celebrities to build the brands that I've created, right? And you being a really good friend of mine, I've seen you do in quite a different way. I have had to engage and pay influencers and celebrities to talk about the brands that I've created, and you have had your product touched by major global celebrities.
Personally, like where I think it starts, I treat everything as a relationship, right? So these partnerships for me are somewhat that personal relationships. So that's kind of how I build this kind of rapport with these influencers. And so I feel like I go that extra mile there to kind of create that kind of experience, but also, you know, that personal touch point, because, you know, it is for me so personal. I am so personally involved in the business, and therefore everything I do is extended from that.
You and I are friends with content creators and influencers, so that has certainly helped in, you know, getting the product onto those people. But then on a celebrity level, you know, I'm not going to say it, Michael, but you're not friends with Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
or, you know, Julia Roberts, who wore a suit of yours in her latest film, for example. And obviously we all know about the Bond dress and, yeah. You know.
There are multiple factors. I mean, one of them, I feel like, I mean, it all comes down to the right product. I mean, if you have the right product, then therefore they will come. You have to have good product. Otherwise, you know, people don't want to wear something that's not good. So I feel like in my instances, we've never gone out to anybody. That's my deal. So everyone that I've dressed, every opportunity that I've been received, I've not personally gone out for those. They've always come to me. So I put that down to, you know, great design, relationship building, and that's, you know, going on and having those personal relationships with the stylists, with the creators, and with the influencers. So I feel like that is kind of like the reason why I get there.
So, yeah, it's the great product, obviously, and it's the Michael Lasorto, you know, silk.
Exactly, but it's also the world of Michael Lasorto.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the world that I kind of create. So people want to be involved in that. They want to somehow be a part of this MLS brand. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that is also an extension.
So the first time you got your product onto a, you know, a celebrity, who was that?
Our first big celebrity was Kim Kardashian, actually.
Oh, amazing.
Way back in the day when she came here with Paris Hilton, and she actually tweeted, what are some Australian brands that I should be looking at? And we were one of them that popped up. Mm. And someone then sent me the Twitter back, because Twitter was the thing back then.
It's still
then.
A thing, but not such a thing in our world.
It's still a thing. Exactly. But it did the job that it did, and exactly what this does.
What did it do to your business at that time to have, at the time, it was Paris Hilton's best friend, wear the product? Like, what happens in that instance?
It gives a brand validation. It gives them relevance, and it gives them the platform. So, like, you know, it just thrusts you into this limelight, which was amazing. And we saw immediate sales from that and immediate brand awareness. Like people that didn't know Michael Lasorto back then they knew about Michael Lasorto back then. She not only wore the dress, but she tweeted us, she credited us. So it was just, it was the perfect gift that anyone could ever receive in fashion.
And then you've nurtured relationships with stylists, creators, people in the industry that has enabled your product to sort of, from that moment, I mean, Paris being in Sydney with Kim, like that's got to be a decade ago. And, you know, you've been doing that ever since. Then has, for example, the Bond dress from a celebrity perspective and that sort of mainstream media perspective had the biggest impact on your business, do you think?
I could not have foreseen the amount of exposure, and I didn't even realize the reach that had. But it just, again, it propelled us into the stratosphere of mainstream kind of, you know, movie, royalty. It put us into so many different funnels. Mm-hmm. And again, it just put us on a different map.
Yes. For reference, Ana de Armas wears one of your iconic dresses in a 15-minute scene in the latest Bond from last year. And the whole scene was really made for your dress. And I did, you know, as your friend, I did see your business explode during that time. And I'm like, do we put it all down to the celebrity? Or, you know, you were also expanding your product a lot at that period of time, you know, launched e-com and things. So, you know, it was a concoction of a range of different things that occurred.
It just was seamless. It was perfect. Like, you know, we saw literally direct crazy sales
off that
from just that. And we're still seeing that till this day. It just has that lasting effect.
Would a customer email you and ask for
on the daily,
and they're referring to it as the Bond dress?
100%. But even before the Bond film, another one that really put us on the map was when Margot Robbie wore the same dress but in white to the I, Tonya premiere here in Australia. And again, like, that just had such power and, you know, reach that you can't buy this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It literally just happens to the lucky few.
Mm.
So it was quite crazy. And that relationship, the way I got Margot into that dress was a friend of mine was wearing a similar dress to the opera in New York. And Margot's stylist literally ran up to her and said, "Oh my God, where is your dress from? I need to know this designer." And that's literally how it happened. So again, sometimes it is that element of fate, but, you know, I put it down to, you know, good craftsmanship as well.
Yes, of course. Good product. Do you think your business would be where it is at today, which is tremendously successful? And, you know, as I mentioned in the intro, you are my friend, the preeminent designer in Australia. Do you think you would be here today without celebrities?
Definitely not. 100% not. I feel like fashion is an ever-changing landscape. And when this whole influencer new medium push came into effect, I mean, like, we have to understand that customers' spending habits are forever changing. And this was just another thing that was not only, it was really exciting to know these new girls. Like, the first influencer we ever dressed was Nicole Warren, when she literally started her blog, Gary Pepper Girl, way back. You know, I didn't even want to name the year, but it was literally then onwards we saw an opportunity, but also we saw this new medium of selling things and how customers kind of relate back to that for relevance. So it was wild. So we not only just jumped on the bandwagon, but we really appreciated it and we ran with it.
Yeah, so that's the influencer, the social media influencer piece. But what about the pure celebrity piece, people who are, you know, in Hollywood and stuff? Do you think would the business be half the size it was without, you know, the Margot Robbie placement, the Bond placement?
Oh, I'll still be trying to struggle to get relevance without that kind of placement. Mm. I think it is majority. Mm. I mean, you know, marketing is marketing. Mm. So therefore, you know, you need to have strong alignments. Yeah. And celebrity carry their own kind of their personal brand, which, you know, we find aligns really well. So with what my product is, so it's kind of like a marriage made in heaven that way. But without celebrity, it is insane. Mm. Yeah.
You're inspiring me, like, with them now, even within the Roundhouse. I'm like, God, do I need Martha Stewart on this product? Do I need a celebrity on the homewares line?
Well, that's the thing. People relate to them because they kind of know them on a sense. So when they see them wearing something, it's validated by them. So therefore, it has validation in, you know, society and in the shopping stratosphere.
And then what about some favorite moments? Because, you know, I have had a really great time shooting some top creators and celebrities and things, and they're sort of almost highlights of my career. What's like a bit of a highlight for you in interacting in this world?
I could never have dreamed to be dressing the people that I've been dressing. And when I get approached, I'm incredibly grateful and I'm honored that, you know, they come to me and they choose me for their special look. Because they're also, for example, when we dressed Solange Knowles for her, the launch of her last album, and she had this really beautiful intimate dinner, and then her stylist came to me and said, you know, Solange saw this piece and she can't see herself wearing anything else. And like that to me was like, it just reached me on a more personal level. So even though I don't have a personal relationship with these guys, I have a personal relationship with what they're doing. Mm. So therefore I kind of, I'm honored, but I feel so just privileged, but also, you know, like I create some beautiful things, you know, like they should be seen and worn and appreciated.
Yeah.
So it goes hand in hand, but to pick a moment would be really, really hard because I just feel like every new thing that we get is just as exciting. And, you know, going even back to when we were surprised with the Schitt's Creek finale scene for the wedding, that was just another thing that was just like, like, you just can't buy that kind of stuff. So it was just wild that they picked my dress and they wanted that to be represented in the scene to represent, you know, at that moment in time. So it's just, for me, it's just, yeah, I'm just forever thrilled and humbled.
It's when Alexis crashes her brother's wedding in a white dress. And what do you mean this white dress? And it's a Michael Lasorto white dress, which was a great moment, which you didn't know about until I showed you.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And now and then a future, like, forward plan. And I know you just came back from showing your collection in Paris. Now, I haven't even looked through those things, but, you know, if you could place one of those garments onto someone, who might that be?
Well, funnily enough, the hotel that we stay at is just crawling with celebrities and their stylists and everything. And literally one night I had a friend of mine brought up another friend who ended up being Cardi B's stylist. So he came in at random hours of the night and we went through the collection and talked through it, and he was just sending videos back to her, and, you know, we were picking out some stuff there. So I feel like that's next on the cards.
Yes, Cardi B placement.
In the celebrity stratosphere.
Very good.
Yeah, which would be amazing. You
that
know?
Will
yeah,
be amazing. Exactly. Yeah.
And she's very – what I also like, and I have to put back to, is that a lot of the time we get the feedback that the actress or the celebrity themselves have actually handpicked it. So, therefore, I kind of feel more appreciated and humble to know that, you know, they are handpicking it. It's not just someone, you know, seeing something and putting it, oh, this will work. Like, it's actually, it goes that level deeper. So, you know, I feel like that is important as well, because they're also having their image put out there. So they want to make sure they're represented in the right way. And the right way is my way.
Fantastic. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us for Dinner for Two. I'm Elise Tran.